Brother Dave Cooper asked me earlier if I'd be interested in coming back again, and I told him I thought not, that I don't think I will continue to do this for much longer. I've been preaching and traveling for a long time, and in the last 45 years I've been lots of places. I've traveled hard. A lot of people say, you know, when they retire that they want to travel. When I retire, I want to stay home. And so I am truly looking forward to that, and I probably will do some things, but I'm not going to do what I have done in the past. So I wanted to tell you how proud I am of you and what you've done. Because I've seen a lot of these kids grow up, and I sure am glad for what you've become. Proud of you, elders. Proud of you, David and Becky, for what you've done. As you get older and you see kind of the end of your work coming, which is fine. Hard to talk about it a little. But I will tell you, the greatest blessing is to just look at some of the younger folks and be thankful for who they are and what they've done. So we're glad. My children, as I see them grow up, that's a blessing. And I tell them I sure am thankful for you and what you've become. And I am for you folks as well. So I'm going to talk with you this evening about a lesson that is extraordinarily important. We've talked about some ways that people go wrong in the modern world, and a lot of ways that we go wrong. But I sure want to end up with an admonition for God's provision for us to figure out how to go right. And that is the way of obedience. Now, all of us that preach about obedience in lots of different ways. But what it's about is a way of life. And I want to suggest to you this evening that the way of obedience is a way of living a rational, peaceful, rewarding existence in the 21st century. The changeless truths in a changing world. We have to guard against being bewitched. As the Apostle Paul says in Galatians, the 3rd chapter and verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. And I want to urge you this evening to consider with me and go with me on this journey of obedience, understanding that there are so many things out here in the world that bewitch us and deceive us and tempt us. Don't let anything bewitch you away from obeying the truth, which has been revealed to us through Jesus Christ, who has been evidently set forth this week before us. Now, I'm going to take this little journey with you this evening with this motif. I'm going to talk with you about the easy way to go to heaven and the easy way to live your life. And I know, by the way, that there is an easy way to go to heaven because Jesus said there was. In Matthew, the 11th chapter, in verse 30, Jesus says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I got to thinking about that just a few months back when we were studying some in Jacksonville, Florida, where I frequently preach. And I thought, well, I just need to make a lesson about that, the easy way to go to heaven, because that's very much what's on everybody's minds today. I mean, I might finally write a book that's a bestseller and one that somebody would actually read. I mean, all you can see on television are people telling you the easy way to get rich and the easy way to lose weight and the easy way to grow hair. But I mean, I've got one for you this evening. I'm going to tell you the easy way to go to heaven. And you can't beat that. In fact, I thought maybe I ought to put a patent on this. But the truth is, it is pretty evident, and not only is it the easy way to go to heaven, but I'm going to tell you the easy way to go and enjoy it along the way. So you young folks, listen up now. This is good how-to advice. And it is how-to advice right out of the Bible. But now before we begin, let me acknowledge that there are some hard sayings. I mean, for the most part, what you will hear, what you young folks will hear is, oh, well, you can talk about being a Christian, and it may be that there's pie in the sky by and by somewhere out there, but, boy, it's hard. You'll have a hard time. And that complaint did come up in the Bible every now and then. When Jesus would talk and someone would say, well, this is a hard saying. You're saying some hard things. And I confess, I wonder about that every now and then. In fact, when I read that passage in Matthew, the 11th chapter, it occurs to me sometime, I wonder if Jesus ever read the 10th chapter. Because just before he says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, it said, they'll deliver you up to councils and they'll scourge you in their synagogues and you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake and for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Now, wait a minute. I thought we were talking about the easy way here. So let's just look at exactly what it is that Jesus was saying and what he meant when he said, I'm going to tell you a way to live your life that won't be hard. It actually will be easy in whatever circumstances you find yourself. Now I'm just going to quickly give you three illustrations and we'll get to my one principle in a moment. This came to my mind when we were in Bible class in Jacksonville, where I am. We were studying the Sermon on the Mount. I'm not going to dwell on any of these points. But it was just kind of funny that as I taught that class, that over and over again, we would read something and somebody would say, boy, that's hard. What Jesus is saying is really hard. And so I began to study to decide how could Jesus say that what he was saying was easy. For instance, on marriage. Now, Dee has talked about marriage all week in the morning, and he's given us some just wonderful practical advice. But you will remember, of course, in Matthew, the 5th chapter, that essentially what Jesus said, I will tell you what my rule is about marriage, and that is people are supposed to get married and stay married. And his disciples in Matthew 19, when he said that, said, well, that is hard. If the case of a man be so with his wife, it's good not to marry. Is what you're saying to me, that I have to marry this woman and stay with her all my life? That's hard. Well, and I can tell you, that is hard. I know. Because I've just about had 49 years. And I have suffered a lot. I mean, can you tell I've suffered a lot? It's been hard. You can't believe the things I've had to put up with. I remember years ago coming home from odd, hard day's work, trying to finish my PhD, and I'd get home at 9 o'clock starving to death, and my wife would put something on the table, and I'd say, what is this? She'd say, it's a asparagus casserole. I'd say, I would not eat an asparagus casserole. Why would you put something like that before a starving man? And she might say, well, We were just out in California, and a lady served you this asparagus casserole, and you complimented her. I said, what I say to somebody in California has nothing to do with what I eat. And what I eat in California is totally unrelated to what I'll eat in Alabama. Now, that's suffering. But what I want to tell you is that there are a lot of worse things in life. And as Dee has so graphically told us in his lessons in the morning, if you think when some little trouble comes along, oh, I'd be better off doing something else, I want to tell you, you just need to listen. What Jesus is telling you is the easy way. The easy thing is to do what the Lord says. But quickly, let me just look at two other things that are said in the Sermon on the Mount. It's actually just full of things that people thought when Jesus said them. Well, those are really hard ideas. For instance, in the 6th chapter and verse 25, Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? I'll tell you a second thing Jesus said. He says, don't worry. And somebody might say, oh, well, boy, that is hard not to worry. No, it's not hard. It's easier than worrying. Not worrying is easier than worrying. And if you can actually learn that God cares about us and His providential care is over us, Jesus said a little bit later on in that passage, in verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto your stature? He said, I will tell you, there are a lot of things about life you can't do anything about anyhow. You young folks, I will tell you, you can spend an exorbitant amount of your time worrying about changing what you look like. And, you know, the world is just full of people with straight hair who spend a lot of time curling, and a lot of people with curly hair spend time straightening it. And people who think that their whole life is ruined because their ears stick out too far or because something else is wrong. And what I want to tell you is, get over it. That makes life hard. And if you want to live life that is easy, turn it over to the Lord. And don't worry about it. And you can live life worry-free. And I'll tell you something, people will notice that. My university's just been through its 10-year accreditation thing that all universities go through. And it is a mess. I mean, it's a great big old Southern State University, and nobody likes anybody else. The faculty thinks all the administrators are dunces, and the administrators think all the faculty are pains in the neck, and they are both right. And the Board of Trustees sees no real reason why we should have a university attached to our football team. And everybody's just anxious all the time and arguing all the time. Except me. And I'm just sitting there in my ivory tower, and none of it bothers me in the slightest. So we just went through this accreditation, and one of the administrators came over to me and said, Ed, he said, we need you to chair the committee on writing the purpose statement. And I said, why would I do such a thing as that? Why would I possibly care about that? And he said, well, he said, you're the only one that's not in the middle of all these fights and that is not all upset and disturbed with everybody else. So I agreed to do it. If you're interested, you can go to the website and read the purpose statement. I wrote it because I didn't let my committee write it. I wrote it. It doesn't make any difference. Nobody will pay the slightest bit of attention to it. But what I will tell you is, if you can learn that, Jesus is absolutely right. Well, of course, He's right because He's right. But He's right about life. You want to have a good life? You want to get through life easy? do what God tells you to do. And you'll save yourself a whole lot of trouble. Well, these refer to another one of the hard things in the Sermon on the Mount. You've heard that it was said, it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies and bless them that curse you. And you might have some trouble with that. And I confess that there may be times when I've even read that and thought that that was a pretty hard thing. Sometimes I have a little trouble being nice to people I like. But what Jesus said is, you need to be nice to everybody. And bless people, even when they're your enemies. They talked about this passage one evening this week. That what we do if we treat our enemies well and those that criticize us well, we might help them. And all the recent stuff with President Reagan's funeral and so on, all of the Reagan stories that were told, I think the one that stayed with me most and impressed me most was the story of his shooting when he was shot and went to the hospital. That the first thing he did before he prayed for himself is he prayed for the young man who had shot him. Now that is a good lesson. And what I want to suggest to you, if you want to get through life in a good way, the way to do it is to do away with your animosity toward other people. You might be able to help them. And I know it'll help you. It might get you elected to something if you learn to treat everybody correctly. It's a lot easier than having trouble. I will tell you what all of us tend to do is we tend to fight our way through life. And we're going to get our way. And we're not going to let anybody run over us. Well, Jesus said, I'll tell you a better way to do that. And that is to treat everyone well, including those that abuse you. Agree with your adversary quickly. He says it might keep you out of jail. Let me give you a little suggestion tonight. I've preached this sermon several places and always say, I'll give you something to test this with this evening. You think of somebody you don't particularly care for and say something nice to them tonight. That'll be good. Now, we'll exempt compliments for the sermons. So that if you say something nice to me, I won't necessarily think it's me. But I was greeting one fellow after I preached this sermon, and I said, how you doing? He said, I'm doing good. He said, I've gotten a lot of compliments this morning. I will tell you what, that'll help your relations with other people. I had five children, and so I've watched all the Andy Griffith programs, I think, many times. And one of my favorites was the program that you may remember where there was this couple in Mayberry and they just fussed with each other all the time. And it was furious and finally got violent and Andy just had to bring them in. Everybody else in town liked them because they were nice to everybody else. And Andy sat them down and he said, well, I'm going to sentence you. I'm going to keep you in jail unless I'm going to make you be nice to each other. And he made them sit there. And the man would say, thank you for dinner. And she'd say, you're welcome. You know. And then as the week went on, they got to where they were nicer and nicer and nicer to each other until all of a sudden they were just behaving as if they loved one another. Now, if you remember that episode, as that happened and they got nicer and nicer to each other, they got meaner and meaner to everybody else in town. And he finally had to make them go back. And that's not my lesson tonight. That's not the moral of my story. Well, Jesus said, If you want to have a good life, don't go through life fighting it. You say, oh, that's hard. No, that's not hard. That's easy. Now, here's my principle. The one principle I want to leave you with this evening. Obedience is easy. Disobedience is hard. And I want to commend to you this evening as a way of life, obedience to God. God knows what He's doing. And He tells us how to have a good life. In Acts, the 9th chapter, we're told the story of the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. And there is a point in that conversion that I think will leave us with this idea etched on our minds this evening. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. I believe that the Apostle Paul was in a position at that point that he knew, he just knew the things he was doing couldn't be the right things. The vision said to him, why do you keep resisting when you know what you ought to be doing? The kind of figure that he uses there is an old farm figure that says plowing's easy, kicking's hard. Because those oxen that they used to plow, they'd put the pricks back at the end so that if they tried to kick them, they'd kick the pricks. It was easier to plow. I'm old enough that I actually plowed on my daddy's farm. I plowed a mule. And a mule would kick you if there was not some reason behind him to stop him from kicking you. But after a while, if he got beaten enough times, or if he hurt himself kicking, he had learned that it was a whole lot easier just to go ahead and plow than it was to kick. Even a mule knows that. I tell a story in my history class about the beginning of the New Deal. In the beginning of the New Deal in 1933, in the midst of the Depression, when Roosevelt became president, one of the first things he did was try to get farmers to reduce the amount of produce that they were producing. And when they got in office and got things started about April, May, they sent out an army of these young farm agents, particularly in the South, where crops had already been planted. They were already up. And those agents went in and tried to persuade those Southern farmers to plow their crops up because they were growing too much. And they had a hard time doing it because, in the first place, those farmers couldn't see how, in the middle of a depression, it was going to help things to plow up their crops. But in the second place, they couldn't get their mules to do it because they had beaten them for years to make them walk in the middle of the row, and they couldn't get them to walk up on top of the row, which gave rise to the saying in the South that even a mule had more sense than a New Dealer. Now, that is what we have in the conversion of Saul. That the time comes that the Lord says, I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. It must be hard for you not to obey. I'll tell you something, folks. I can see, he's told then in Acts the 22nd chapter in verse 16, we're told that he was told, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. I've told a lot of people what God's Word has to say about becoming a Christian. And I will tell you, I can almost sit across the table from you and tell when the light comes on. And somebody says, that is what that says. And I will tell you what you can do at that point. You can do it, or you cannot do it. And I want to tell you that the test you need to use all of your life, all the rest of your life, with regard to God is that I need to obeying. Obeying's easy. Oh, you might say, well, I'll have suffer some hardships. That's fine. When you know you're doing right, when you know and you're taking God's directions, when you know that you're doing the right thing, the road to heaven is easy. Now, young folks, I want to leave you all with that message so firmly on your mind, because lots of people are going to tell you, as they try to take you down the road of intellectualism or materialism or humanism or subjectivism, oh, being a Christian and doing what the Bible says, that is hard. No, it's easy. God never tells us to do anything except that which is good for us. And if you want to have a smooth ride through this life, and one that you can look back at the end of it, at the people that you've loved and that you've nurtured, and say, I'm proud of you, then you just go down that straight road that the Lord's given us to follow.